It's Wednesday. Even though it's a new month, we talk Indiana men's soccer with my great friend, the head coach, Todd Yeagley, of the co-Big Ten champions. The 33rd time in the illustrious history of the program that Indiana has won either the regular season or the tournament championship, so not bad. And we talked last month getting – I remember before the Kentucky game – well, good afternoon. How are you, champion?
Good.
Welcome back.
I'm good, class. Thanks.
Welcome back. We were getting ready to go to Kentucky. Things were not perhaps firing on all cylinders. And we talked about how the last couple of years, well, that's kind of how it was. And now that we look back at October and you got a piece of the regular season and championship, well, you were right the whole time. Just be patient, people.
Well, I mean, I felt good about it, Glass, although the results, you know, weren't as and the ties are tricky, you know. You feel like sometimes they're a loss. Certainly at home, you know, with those two early ties in the Big Ten, you know, games that we had the better of and we just get a point out of. So, you know, to be, you know, three games in with 2 points and, you know, two of those games and three at home, it'd be different maybe if two on the road, you're going, man, that's going to be a pretty big hill to climb. And it was, but our conference is it's not the conference that I played in. And you remember when you were a student at IU, it's every game is super competitive, and it might depend on just the form of the week, you know, some injuries or what have you. Next thing you know, the table started flipping, and you know, as that started flipping, you know, we had some other, you know, big non-conference games. You mentioned the Kentucky game. You know, for a team that, you know, was literally a kick away to go to a Final Four, I thought they maybe were one of the best teams in the country last year. They had some new faces. They were having some tough times. We go down there and we draw there feeling, like, again, like we left points on the table. Felt like a loss. And next thing you know, Kentucky just beat the top two teams in the RPI in the last 2 weeks. So now they're sitting pretty good. So you just never know, you know, when and where you play a team and how that result could be a good one. Now it's actually a good tie on the road. And then you fast forward, and here we are now, you know, Big Ten champs. And we won some huge games on the road. You know, we were the last team to play Maryland when they really had something to play for. I think they folded last game against Ohio State with nothing on the table. But, man, that game at their place, that was a tournament, you know, that was tournament line. I mean, their life and really our life to be able to chance to either, you know, win the title or still stay in the to host was on the line at that Maryland game. And that was a fantastic finish with Sammy. And I thought we played well, but we finished the actions and we scored on a restart, which we've been really, really challenged with, and yeah, restart goals. we're coming together with that. So,
but that's the whole point of October. Score. That was the beautiful part, because everything, it seemed to come together, not all in one game, but it just almost like one domino fell, then the next one fell. How important was that victory against Penn State? Because we look back on it now, it's given you the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament, and it's a win on the road. So the Kentucky disappointment, you didn't pack it in. You went out and you took your next chance, and it was in conference play. Do you feel that was the spark that lit the fire for October?
Definitely. I mean, we all know Penn State's a really good side, and we go there to get a result. You know, we said right after the game, we're back in the mix. You know, we don't get a result at Penn State, the challenge will be, I'd never say impossible, but mathematically very, very difficult. And that was huge. So I think the pivotal moment to give the group that extra spark and, like, man, how many games can we play pretty darn well and not get something was the Penn State. Then we took that from there. And then, like you said, Glass, it's been the steady improvements in different areas of our game. And as we make improvements in other parts of the game, the key is not to lose the strength of what you had been doing. You know, look at our team defending. All year we've been in the top 15, top 10. I think we're 8 in the country in goals against average. As we're trying to get more goals, you can't sacrifice your defending for that. You know, you can't. You know that all too well. So it'd be easier just to kind of throw, you know, caution to the wind and just say, hey, let's just get after it. And, you know, let's beat a team 3-2. That's just not how we operate. So we found the goals that we need. We're getting better on restarts. A couple guys got some key goals that we needed in October. They're feeling more confident. That's what you need this time of year. You need to be healthy. You need to be confident. and playing your best soccer in October, not September. And I think we're putting that all together right now.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer head coach, the co-champions of the Big Ten regular season after their 4-1 victory over Rutgers on Sunday. They will be the host throughout the Big Ten tournament as long as they continue to play. It'll start Friday night, 7:30, at Jerry Yeagley Field, Bill Armstrong Stadium. And Wisconsin will be the opponent. We'll get to the Bucky Badgers here in just a moment. But I missed you last week. I was out of town. I had another thing to do. So I'm sitting in a watering hole down at my other job in Ponte Vedra Beach. I've got the Northwestern Indiana game on my phone. I'm watching the Big Ten Plus or however I can watch all this. And then it's, okay, well, now I can start doing some math here. If I add 3 points here for a win and 3 points there for a win and everything else. And again, I thought it was another game that you guys played really well. You just didn't get a result in. What was the team talk after Northwestern, knowing that you still had Rutgers all to play for on Sunday?
That was difficult. The guys, they knew they played well. We really limited Northwestern. I mean, they had a couple long throws, which obviously scored on one of them, and, maybe a shot from distance that we blocked, and that was it. And, we were in and around the box a lot in that first half in particular. We get a goal, that game flips. The wind's on our back in the second half. I feel like that they must have set a record on blocks in It kind of went back to earlier in the year. It's like, okay, now we're keeping more shots on frame, but now it seems like every defender seems to get a perfect block on it. And when you block that many and you're diving around, you're going to get a deflection. The ball's going to pop somewhere to you, kind of like it did in the Ohio State game. That the ball that Joey just kind of deflected a little bit went right to Carson. He collected on his feet and quickly turned and hit. None of those balls were falling for us. It was at Northwestern. And it's not like, oh, here we go again, but you're like, man, what do we need to do to and we had control at that point. So the math going into that game, ironically, Michigan State loses that night before our game. So we know that we win at Northwestern, at home Rutgers, no one can chase us. We would be outright with 1 point in hand, I believe, without any help. We then drop the Northwestern game, and now we know, of course, we need help. We kind of reset. All we talk about is to say, hey, we just need to beat Rutgers. We can't control the other games, But I did say to the group, I said, the irony of this whole thing will be we will get the breaks in the other games. And I kind of truly believed it. Sometimes you got to give a group just a feel and a belief to get them to believe. I really was like, this is the way this year is going to go. We're going to get a win, and we're going to get the breaks we needed. Two teams that either need to draw or lose. Both on the road, which is much more likely, and it happened. And so we're literally 2 minutes left in the game. I turned to my assistant, Kevin, and I said, what's the deal? He goes, we're the champs. And I said, okay. I didn't ask until that moment. I wasn't about to, but we knew there were other results that time. And so, yeah, it was such a fun day on Sunday and with all that coming together. And, see the guys celebrate and to win another title, they're so hard to do, and in particular, in the modern era, you enjoy it, and then you reset and you get ready for the, as we call glass, the second phase of the season.
Well, yeah, we're only one-third. We're only one-third of the way into any of that. But I wanted to ask you about the feeling of the group, because now you're going to have to repaint those signs that are across from you, where you coach and the boards are there, X amount of this champion. You got to repaint all those every year. That's a big deal. You've won some comfortably. You've won some at the last minute. They matter. Every single one. The total fans can say, oh, it's another Big Ten champion. But it matters. It matters when you get the hat. It matters when you get the shirt and you take the trophy over to the student section.
It does. And, just because we've done it before, I mean, maybe these players, these freshmen in particular, they have not. And winning is there's no better feeling, and you want it back. You want to feel it again. And you do everything you can to get back to that. And that's what, winning will provide, is that glimpse into what that feeling of accomplishment. In that true joy, it's like you've done so much, and it's the process, right? You can't just be good in one game and win the Big Ten regular season. You gotta be getting consistent things done. Even the games that were tied. I mean, we lose one of those games, it doesn't happen for us. So, every one of them, whether it's, we go 8-0 and, it was 18 and we'd already won the Big Ten with a game in hand, which is really difficult. And you remember the game, we're playing Michigan State at home, and we, no one had gone 8-0 in the conference, I don't think for years. And we get the overtime goal, Gutman back post, rebound, Renex. Like, that was an amazing feeling, even already with the title in our hands, to go, like, we want to go 8-0 and to celebrate with our fans there. It was a different type of feeling, but, that title was special in its own way. They're all special. This one was unique, and I do think it will be one I'll remember with a warm heart, because it just shows the resilience and kind of how IU can find its way.
Yeah, this is a program title instead of maybe having, a Herman Trophy or a couple guys. And it's not bad. It's just different. And I think that's the beauty of it. Hey, the system works, guys. Believe in what we're telling you. Here's the proof.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, some years it is an individual or two that can help, really, really propel the group. And some years it's more the committee. And there's not only one way to do it. I think this group has certainly been a committee group. And, Sammy's done a lot in our scoring, certainly, when we weren't firing it. But, our team defending has been fantastic from front to back. And I thought that was kind of a, what Maloon and Carson and our midfield did on Sunday was kind of a masterclass. And, like,
I was going to bring that up. That was fantastic. Seeing it in person.
Yeah.
Too.
So it's those are the reasons you get results, not just, focus on the guys that scored the goal. So, yes, it was, they're all different, as you've seen a lot of them, Glass, and every one of them special. And the great part is you can, it's always yours now. I mean, it'll be up on the banners. We'll obviously see when you change signs, that's a good year. You change signs.
I want to be your paint guy.
you want to put it out there. And obviously the biggest one in the locker room is the picture of a Final Four. And that's the one that will always, be first and foremost in front of them. Of those 22 pictures and the descriptions of those Final Fours, which is, again, a record that's not even close to being touched within Division One soccer. And yet, this one won't be taken away. It's ours. And now it motivates you to go and get another one. In this case, the next one up is the Big Ten postseason one. And then you figure out where you are there, and then you reset, and then you try to go for the crown jewel.
Let's talk about Sunday's big victory. 4-1 over Rutgers. You talked about the work rate of your attacking players. I thought Oduro and Sarver and Tommy, when he came on, and Henderlong and the whole gang, they tracked back fantastically. It looked like there was something on the line on Sunday. Not saying they didn't the rest of the season, but you could really, really see the grit on display. But the other part of your defense, though, I think you're maybe shunning a little credit for, but moving Hugo Bacharach out of the back four into the six right in front of them, you have unlocked, I don't know, but that's a man possessed. I would not want to play with my back to goal with him hovering around. He's long, he's athletic, he can carry the ball out of defense. Why did you find that? Where did you find that? And how impressed are you that it's worked this well?
Oh, it's been really good. And we started experimenting this, I would say, 5-6 games into the year. Once we knew Jansen was such in good form, you're always going, how do we get the most pieces in the field? And one area that at times in the midfield is just the overall athletic piece and length that Hugo, no one even was close to that. I mean, it's his God-given ability, but also his ability to travel with the ball and get us a little bit more attack moments. And you see the perfect moment was the fourth goal, the two assists at Penn State. There's been several others throughout the games he's played in there. He can just open the game up, and his feel and timing on his pass and weight is a professional level weight. And that has really given a lot of our guys more confidence, one, to be aggressive with the runs off the ball, that, hey, he'll find you and he'll put you in the right spot. But two, it just makes other defenses have to step and shift, and then things just open. And when games are static, He was putting a lot of pressure on our midfield to have to create, and you know, Patty and Jack were doing well, but neither one like has that ultimate skill set that Hugo has. And then you just throw in his length. And he's able to clip things out. He's able to double back and win balls. Every head ball in the midfield is now ours, starting our attack. He's cerebral. His positioning, I'm just really amazed at how quickly he's really kind of learned the positional work defensively. Because it is different in how you rotate. But at the same time, he's just got a natural feel for the game. It's been it's given us kind of a new life. And you know, here Jack Wagner, who, you know, played an amazing run in our tournament. He was really good for us all last season. I mean, I couldn't take him off the field in the final because he played so well. And it's like he's still right there, ready to go in when we need him, you know, whether it's a little bit higher or rest one of them. So that's what you want, Glass. You want to have good depth, and you want to have different types of players based on what the game needs. I think we've worked well towards that.
The Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week is Hugo Bacharach for the Indiana Hoosiers. He set up, well, he scored the first one, and he was a pain all afternoon long. Indiana wins 4-1 over Rutgers and are co-champions of the regular season in the Big Ten. It feels like we've messed with the Big Ten championship format about every 2 years. So this year, I'll just tell everybody, it's in Indiana. Indiana is the number one overall seed on the tiebreaker, defeating Penn State. And as long as Indiana plays, it will be here. There is no site that everybody will travel to for the final or the semifinals. It will be right here on campus, not any one of these other great places that's hosted recently. How big of an advantage is that? What, 7-1-2, did I see that correctly? That it's good to be home. That was another important part of Sunday's big 4-1 win over Rutgers.
Yeah, again, everything kind of falling into place. I mean, we would have been certainly happy with co-champion and getting moved to another seed based on kind of where we had come from. But man, to have the tiebreaker, you know, go directly with Penn State, which we had beaten, and that's the first tiebreaker, to then be the number one seed. Yeah, right now it's all about not only do we really like our field and it's a fantastic space and our guys are comfortable. The Tardy Centers have been a game changer. Our pregame is so so functional. Our fans are obviously great, as you know. That in itself, the travel, you know, it's hard. You know, it these guys are managing everything else in their lives with school and whatnot, and to be able to have that extra time and to sleep on you know, in your own bed and stay in your rhythm is an advantage. And you know, that's why, you know, in any sport, home teams have a better record than they do on the road. And we're gonna you know, approach it as though this is a one game situation, and let's not get ahead of ourselves. Yes, we will be hosting if we advance, but nothing's gonna be given to us. But it is nice to know from a planning purpose and just an overall exertion level that, you know, last year took a toll. I mean, at Maryland, at Rutgers, that was a busy 5 days. You know, I think we woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning after playing Maryland. You know, we're not on a charter on that flight, so we're up at 3 after beating Maryland, and the guys probably didn't get tons of sleep because they were pretty excited. And now we're traveling back on Thursday. We recover Friday. We train. We're back on the plane on Saturday, and we're playing Sunday at noon at Rutgers. That's a quick turnaround. And you know, this year, if we're able to move through the tournament, we're home, and have our great fans. And as I said to him on Sunday, you know, one of the other motivations after you've done it is if you can win anything. To me, the most exciting moments are Big Ten titles at home, whether it's a regular season or a postseason, which now is more, obviously we know that we can control that. The second part is, you know, a quarterfinal win at home. Like, those to me all blend together as like the most special moments you can have as an IU soccer player. There's just an incredible feeling of winning a title, Big Ten, or advancing to a College Cup with your home fans, like we've been able to do a few times in recent years. It's just, those are special. You just want those for your players. And good news is we take care of business. We can have that opportunity on Sunday, next Sunday.
And you took care of business last Sunday, getting a part of the Big Ten regular season championship. Four goals. We haven't seen four goals all season long. I didn't go back and check the history of the last time that you guys did bang home four. I thought your goal scorers were very interesting on Sunday as well. How much confidence does that add to Collins Oduro has been a little quiet. He's a freshman. They all go through the ups and downs. You got Hugo's in the mix. Patrick McDonald, he hasn't scored a ton of goals in his career. Sammy finishes everything off, but we talked about that early in the season about where do the goals come from. You thought you'd really be balanced in that attack. Well, Sunday was the proof, and what a day to kick that all off for November.
Yes, I think we felt that way, and it's you know, Sammy's kind of jumped out of the gate. You need someone to hopefully, or you just have a lot of people turn in at a high level. You know, Witten Brink was that player for us last year. He really got out of the gates, and then we had a lot of support underneath him with points, you know, whether goals or assists. And, you know, if you have big players for goals, I mean, I think Wednesday was important, or Friday was important too, Glass. You know, for Tommy to get a goal on Friday was important. You know, he needed to see the back of the net. And, you know, the finish against Trine, it was interesting because, you know, you'd say, well, Trine's not the opponent of Rutgers. Well, certainly they're not, but the finish he had was a really calm, composed pass to goal, which had been not one he's been using as much as he could. And then for Maloon to get a goal, I think was really important for his psyche. So there's two really important players. You then go Sunday. Patrick McDonald, I think, is like a little bit of a sleeping giant with scoring for us. He gets a goal from, you know, 20 out. He's had probably a half dozen of those looks, Glass, and hasn't hit them as well as he's on Sunday. You now have him more confident in those moments. Hugo gets a goal, which really changes the complexion of scoring out of midfield. And then Sammy, you know, finishes it off. So, yeah, I mean, if I had to pick some goal scorers and how we did it, you know, and Collins, as you mentioned, you know, Collins was, you know, out of the gate. He was like, oh, my goodness, how many points is he going to get? And then he did, like a lot of freshmen, you know, he hit a little wall, some ups and downs. I mean, we can go back, Glass, and think about some of our amazing strikers, attackers we've had through the years. I mean, you know, Will Bruin, I think, had four goals as a freshman. He had 16 as a junior. You know, Grabovoy, you know, was barely able to do tons as an attacker as a freshman. Pat, you go back to all of our great attackers, it's not easy as a freshman. And so for Collins to get, you know, his, I think, third goal of the season or second, whichever it was really massive for us and for him to head into this next phase. So, yeah, like I said, the script is writing out really well. You want to be confident, you want to be healthy, and you want to be playing your best comprehensive play of the year. And I think we're right where we need to be at the right time.
With three goals on Sunday, sniffers, weren't they? First one was a muck.
I love sniffers.
I know that. I was explaining that in the post game to those who weren't initiated to such terminology. And then Oduro was off a save. Bacharach's cross was not cleared out to off the keeper to McDonald. Yeah, these sniffer, sniffer, sniffer. Then the classic,
sniffer.
Then the breakaway. So the sniffer dam is broken. So that's good. We want that to be the case. What is Wisconsin 0-0, September 15th, Bill Armstrong Stadium, Jerry Eagley Field. We know that can't be the result coming up on Friday at 7:30. What do the Badgers? What is the problem from Neil Jones's crew? And what is the key to victory for the Cream and Crimson?
Well, you know, they're very capable of making it very hard to break down. I'm not sure how they will, you know, approach the game, Glass. We never quite know, but by historic measures and certainly by the regular season, they made it really tough. They sat in the mid block and really congested the space. So, you know, our passing, our ability to get around the edges, through them, you had to be really clean with it because they always were in good help positions. You need a little bit of finishing from distance, and you need some driving out of midfield. And I think all those areas of our game have improved since that match. So that's positive for us. Certainly they're an improved team than they were back on September 15th. They have a very good goalkeeper, obviously one of our alum sons who does a great job. And they're going to be tough. And I think the nice thing, Glass, that, you know, where I felt like that September 15th game is like, give us more time. You know, I'm leaving that game going, man, give me 20 more minutes. I think we find a goal. Maybe not, but I liked our chances. And, you know, in the Big Ten tournament, the new rule, as you know, last year, it's the postseason, which is considered big, you know, the postseason as Big Ten tournament and NCAA, it's 2 times 10. You play all 20, regardless of a goal scored. So both teams, if it is a tie at the end of regulation, we both have 20 minutes to find another goal. And then if it is tied after that, then it would go to the mark. And then that would be who would be advancing, would be the winner of that if it went to that.
Got to have a result. Friday night, 7:30, Indiana men's soccer, the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament, hosting the Wisconsin Badgers. And night game, was that your choice? How did we come to that conclusion? Because we know we got a little basketball going on as well. Did you prefer the night angle for that time, or were you assigned that by the league for people always asking such questions?
Yeah, I think the flexibility, you know, everyone, the coaches and players, you know, I think there's a general sense that the night game is preferred. Certainly on a Friday when, you know, you can't get people to get off work or out of school early. So we were looking at a night kick, and I think, you know, the best summary could be, you know, let the basketball game start. That way people can avoid the initial basketball traffic, and then let people get into our game for the 7:30. So it gives that hour break. And then, you know, our hope is that IU is just really on top of Marion, and everyone's like, okay, that game's in hand. Let's go watch the second half of soccer. And maybe the students and some of the fans that maybe are both big basketball and soccer fans, maybe they say, okay, this exhibition is certainly important, but not as big as a Big Ten championship. And so hopefully some people will make that little easy walk from Assembly Hall Armstrong, and join us for the second half. That was the thought for the 7:30 kick.
I like it, and I like the temperatures will be in the upper 50s on Friday as well. We'll warm up a little bit. That's the good news. You guys have warmed up plenty. Regular season co-champions Friday night, number one seed against Wisconsin, 7:30. Jerry Yeagley Field, Bill Armstrong Stadium coming up on Friday night. Thanks, buddy. We'll get caught up next week and see where we're going next.
Thanks, class.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer. He is the head coach of the champions, the regular season champions, as we mentioned there. The first hurdle complete, hurdle number two, winning the Big Ten tournament championship. And then we'll worry about things down the road. Thanks to Todd for joining us. We'll take a quick time out. This is the Glass in the Afternoon Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour on a Big Show Friday.